All right, class, welcome to Living by the Book. John chapter 15. It's so funny. This Bible and read this chapter so much, the page that came out, but ain't no shame in my game. Here's what it is. I mean, we really reading it. John chapter 15. Jesus has consistently been trying to take us off of the page and into the person. Take us out of the script and being a live being in the story. So it's always been the same method. And so John 15 is a wonderful scripture, and I'll do a little reading. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Listen to what he's saying. Now you are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. Now, he didn't say the words that were written. He didn't say the words that were scripted. He says, you are clean through the words that I'm speaking to you right now. All right, I want you to catch this. Even though this is hindsight, and even though it is written time ago, and we can read this in the Bible, you still have to catch what Jesus is saying. He's talking about the words spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Abide in me, abide. Live in me, be alive in me, and let me be alive in you. Be alive in me. I'm going to say it again. Be alive in me and me alive in you. As the branch, who we are, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide or be alive in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, or liveth in me, and I in him. This is a powerful lesson that Jesus is giving, even from chapter 14 to here, right? And the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, once again, I'm emphasizing that he's going from looking at something to actually being alive in him. Not just reading about Jesus, which is what we do on a regular, not just reading about Jesus, but becoming alive in him. Now, let me tell you something about Jesus and his words. Let me read this verse and then I'll tell you. If a man abide not in me, his cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You're useless. Verse 18, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done. Not for you, but unto you. It's going to be done to you. Listen to what I'm saying. The word of God, or God's will, is done to you. I had an interesting conversation the other day with some friends, and I saw it in a different way. That, you know, we're so busy trying to see Jesus that we don't let him see us. Now, he sees us, but we don't acknowledge his vision. But right now, what Jesus is doing, we pray for discernment. When in actuality, we have to allow ourselves to be discerned by Christ. We have to allow Jesus to discern it. He said this, my word, you are clean. Oh, I clean you up through my word. I'm discerning you with my words. I'm discerning you with my conversation to you, right? This whole thing is talking about him discerning you. He's explaining to you who you really are and discerning you. The only thing on the other side of that is submission. He didn't say, if you work in me. He didn't say if you have a mission in me. He say you live, you abide, you stay there, you submit there, you yield there, you allow him to be who he is in you and you in him. Every time we read the word of God, we see these red words. Jesus is discerning us to show us more of who we are. That's why he says, search the scriptures. Now one thing about the scriptures is the scriptures, just by themselves, you can skirt past them. You can put one scripture here, one scripture there, and this one can contradict the other one, that can contradict the other one. But you cannot bypass the person. That's why he said in John 5:39, we read this often in this class, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you're getting discerned. For search the scriptures, for in them you think it's dividing you, it's rightly dividing you. But it says, and they are there which testify of me, but you won't come to me. Why won't you come to me? Because the buck stops with Jesus. The true discernment is when the person meets you head up. It's almost like you know, sometimes when you know, right now technology allows you to, if you have a pain in your foot, you know what I'm saying, you might have pain in your side or whatever it is, you can Google and say, what does it mean to have a pain in the right side of my foot, in the pinky toe? You know, you can Google that, and it gives you a whole list of things that it could possibly be. And you can kind of go there and say, oh, it's not that. And you can skirt around those things. But it's one thing about going to the physician. Because when you go to the physician, they do in-person tests to you. Raise your arm like this, put your arm like this, let me listen to your heart, look in your ears. They do in-person tests. And if they're a good physician, they do in-person tests to where they narrow down and discern you and discern what may be your issue. They ask you questions, give you tests, check your blood. They discern you from the inside to find out what the possibility or what the issue could really be. So it's one thing to kind of search that on your own. Search doctor.com or what's the other, med.com. I think they got a couple of them. One thing to search that and then try to figure out your own, but it's another thing to be in person with the physician. Catch this right quick. My son, you are cleansed through my word. And you are clean through the word what I have spoken to you. So now Jesus is challenging us to abide in him because abiding in him causes a discernment. Now, can you imagine? Watch this for a quick second. Let's use our imagination. Can you imagine living in the house with Jesus? Think about it for a minute. Can you imagine? You say, well, he's living in me right now. No, I ain't talking about that. No. Stop. Can you imagine what it would be like to live with Jesus? I'm talking about like living in your house. Like some of y'all have spouses. Like, no, like just like you have to cohabitate with Jesus in the home. What would that be like? Right? To abide in him and he abides in you. What would that be like? Well, no, for me, it would be amazing because I know it may be challenging. It'll be ultimately challenging, right? Because I know he's just challenging me, discerning me every day. But I know on the other side of that challenge is so much ultimate fruit. I know that being able to live with him like that on a regular daily basis, to watch his ins and outs and how he moves and how he functions, even just physically, how all those things go, would be a challenge and a change to me to be able to change me into who I'm supposed to be. What he's saying is right now, you can abide in him now. These red words allow you to submit to Jesus right now where you are. But you have to submit in order to be discerned. We pray for discernment too much. We're asking to discern other things and we haven't been discerned. Once you have been discerned, it's like I crown you. Or like when I discern you, I make you discernment in the flesh. I make you that. You begin to see things like I see them. If you allow, God says, the Father says, Jesus says, if you allow me, Holy Spirit, if you allow me to discern you. Now, this is where we miss it at sometimes. We don't allow ourselves to be discerned. We don't allow Jesus, through him speaking us in those red words, they're red for a reason. Because it's not somebody else talking about Jesus. It's him actually talking to us. Right? But we don't submit ourselves to this. And we skirt around them, and we don't allow ourselves to be discerned. That's why Jesus says these hard sayings. Ain't nobody left houses or lands or mothers or fathers or children or wives. Talking about your marriage, Lord Jesus, for my sake in the gospel, won't receive 100-fold. He starts saying, you love your children more than me, you're not fit. What? He's challenging you. Lose your life, you'll find it. If any man come unto me, let him deny himself. He's discerning us, and he's discerning us to us. He's cutting us open and trying to move all the crap out of the way so that we can really see the kingdom of God in us and we can see ourselves and we can see him in us. This is what he's doing. If you abide in me, how do I abide in his word? How do I abide in Jesus? We say, I'll abide in the word. No. Yeah, I know. I understand. All word is written by the Holy Spirit. But there's some words. Why do we point out these words more than others? Why are these words a different color out the whole Bible? Abide in the red. Jump down to verse 15. I can read the rest of it. Jump down to verse 15. I want to say something. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Oh, watch this now. I can't jump. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit so that you be my disciples. So that means you're a disciple, you really bear fruit. You ain't no disciple if you ain't bearing no fruit. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continually my love. You keep my commandments, you shall abide. He didn't say keep the commandments. Oh! He didn't say if you keep the commandments. He said if you keep, it makes it personal. My commandments, you shall abide in my love. Either I kept the Father's, kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Your joy is only full when his joy remains. His joy remaining in you is the fullness of your joy. And I'm saying a lot right there. You got to catch it. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for friends. Ye are my friends. He said he's laying his life down and putting it out there, laying it out there in front of you. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It's reciprocal. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, although we all be trying to serve God till the day we die. I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. Wait, can you tell me that I could be serving God and not know what he's doing? Oh, my God. Is Jesus telling me that I could be serving God and not knowing what he's doing? Whew. Y'all listen to that for a minute. You mean to tell me that I can be a servant? I can be a minister? You know, minister means to serve. I can be a minister of God and not know what he's doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. There's it's a bunch of things in there, but now he's going from moving from servanthood. So when I'm just in the scriptures, I'm serving, right? When I'm just in the scriptures of the law, I'm just serving. I'm just serving God. But I move beyond the servant to the sonship by becoming one with the Father and becoming one with Jesus and abiding in him and he in me. And when this happens, we jump from being just on the page or doing the instructions to actually being the structure. Yeah, there's a manual for your car and it shows you how everything works, but there's nothing until you do it. Nothing until you get in there, get on the inside, because you can't drive a car from the outside. Nothing until you get on the inside and begin to function in those things which I've showed you, right? Now you're observing of driving, and then now when you got on the inside, you're a driver. It's powerful. We don't want to be caught up in being servants of God, not know what he's doing, because you're going to mess something up. Allowing God, sticking to these words and allowing the Father to discern us and to cut us open. When he discerns me, he begins to cut me and mold me and show me different things that I don't know about myself, right? God will discern you and show you things. Jesus will discern you and show you. This is why he challenges you. He discern you and show you things you just don't even know about yourself. I mean, imagine if the word was written even on your chest like this right now. Even looking down, you couldn't read it. Somebody else had to read you to you. Unless you looked in the mirror, and you know Jesus is the mirror. So let's remember now when we, and this will be a short class, remember when we go into the word, we're submitting ourselves to Christ. And I push for these red words. We're submitting ourselves to Christ and we're allowing Christ to discern us. When we yield and allow him to see us, acknowledge that he sees us and acknowledge that what he sees is the true us, then we open ourselves up to be discerned by him and be molded into who we really are. That's living by the book. This is what the gist of it is living by the book. Amen. Amen.